A very good afternoon to all our listeners and welcome to Health and Wellness Radio program on Radio Miraya. I'm your host, Maidulene Joseph, and this program comes your way every Thursday from 1 to 2. Today we are discussing a topic that has generated concern across the region and maybe the world, which is Ebola. And we would like also to talk about how prepared South Sudan to face Ebola in case it crossed the border from Uganda and also Democratic Republic of Congo, where some cases have been registered already. So we know there's no any cases registered now in South Sudan. But as I mentioned, I have some guests in the studio so that we know how prepared South Sudan. And with me in the studio today is Dr. Onyango Okech. He's a doctor from World Health Organization, and he's here in the studio to discuss with us this topic. Welcome to Radio Miraya, Dr. Onyango.
Thank you very much, Marjolaine, and good afternoon, Radio Miraya listeners.
Yeah, I'm also joined by Mr. Nyok Daniel. He's a risk communication and community engagement representative from the National Ministry of Health. Good afternoon and welcome to Radio Miraya, Mr. Nyok.
Thank you, Magdi, and good afternoon, South Sudan and the Radio Miraya listeners.
Yes, so without wasting our time and also time of our listeners, maybe I would like to introduce the topic again in Arabic for our listeners, and then we start our discussion. لمستمعين بتاعنا ده برنامج بتاع صحة وعافية ومعي داخل الاستديو ممثلين من وزارة بتاع الصحة في جنوب السودان وكمان منظمة بتاع الصحة العالمية عشان احنا نتكلم عن كيف جنوب السودان جاهز عشان يواجه تفشي بتاع فيروس إيبولا إن كيس في تفشي حصل داخل جنوب السودان. وبعدين إنت لو عندك أي سؤال لضيوف بتاعنا في الاستديو أنت ممكن تتصل علينا في أرقامنا 09-12-06-78-79 في رقم تاني 09-12-06-79-79 في رقم تالت 09-12-06-81-01. So let me start from Dr. Onyango. Dr. Onyango, let us begin by maybe giving us an overview of the Ebola situation in the region. How is it? How is the situation, especially in Uganda and also in the Democratic Republic of Congo, including here South Sudan?
Thank you very much, Marjolaine. Good afternoon once again, listeners. And I think I will start by emphasizing the fact that South Sudan currently, we have not registered any case of Ebola within the country, but the Ministry of Health is in the preparedness mode just to ensure that in case any case is detected, then the country is able to adequately manage the case. And so Ebola virus disease, for some of you who might have known, is a severe viral disease that is caused by what we call the ortho Ebola virus. And this disease currently is an outbreak in the DRC of Congo, Democratic Republic of Congo, as well as across the border in Uganda. And then on the 16th of May this year, WHO declared this as a public health of emergency, a public health emergency of international concern. So that means the scale of this disease, it is moving fast, and it has gone beyond one country. In terms of the cases in DRC, as of the 2nd of June, we have about 344 confirmed cases. Out of the 344 confirmed, we have 16 healthcare workers who are infected, and then we have about 60 of these people who have succumbed to the disease, meaning they have died. But the good news is that also out of this, we have 6 people who have been recovered, meaning at least there's hope. Not everything is gloom and doom, especially for someone who contracts this disease. Mm. And then in Uganda, we have 15 confirmed cases and one death. And then we have 2 cases that have been recovered. So in Uganda, we have about 3 locations that have been affected, including Kampala, and then Mukono and Wakiso. The outbreak is on a larger scale in the Democratic Republic of Congo, where we have about 24 health zones or districts that have been affected, mainly in the province of Ituri, South Kivu, as well as North Kivu. Yes.
Okay. This is a very detailed overview. Now, let me bring in Mr. Nyok from National Minister of Health, especially the Department of Community Engagement and also Risk Communication. How prepared are you so far? Have you started maybe sending some messages outside for the public to know about this Ebola virus?
Thank you, Magdi. Once again, good afternoon, Radio Miraya, listeners, and the entire country of South Sudan. Yes. I'm from the Department of Health Education and Promotion. That is how we call it, Directorate of Primary Health Care, within the National Ministry of Health. We normally do what we call Risk Communication and Community Engagement, the RCCE. So, yes, as Dr. Onyango, a colleague of mine, has just put it, the department itself is prepared. The entire National Ministry of Health is prepared. How are we prepared is the question. Yes. Given the proximity of South Sudan to the neighboring countries of the DRC and Uganda, where the outbreak has occurred and the cases are registered, yes. So the National Ministry of Health especially has prioritized the areas that border Uganda and those other ones that border Congo. We can talk of Nimele. The teams are ready. They are on their way for an assessment so that we know the situation at the border. The same thing applies to EA. You talk also about Kaya and Western Equatoria at the same time. So the entire Ministry of Health has prepared some teams for an assessment so that we see how best the country is prepared should there be any suspected case. Yeah, so that is the level of preparation ready to in regards to readiness within the National Ministry of Health.
Okay, thank you so much, Mr. Nyok. Let me bring in Dr. Onyango once again. You already talked about Ebola and what causes it, the virus that you have mentioned. Now, how does this virus spread from one person to another?
Thank you very much, Julene, for the question once again. So, The virus is transmitted from one person to the other on contact. So it is through direct contact, meaning if somebody is showing symptoms like vomiting, diarrhea, the person is sweating, and then they are bleeding and you touch that bleeding, then you are most likely to contract this virus. And then the incubation period of this virus, meaning the time you touch that person or you come in contact with that person, to the time you start manifesting a similar symptoms of the disease is between 2 and 21 days. And what is important to note is that it is not only someone who is alive and is having the disease who can spread it, also dead bodies. So if you have a dead body, and this person has died from the virus, it means you can also as well contract this disease. So it is through direct contact.
And is it possible for someone to also spread the disease before showing any symptoms, like bleeding?
So there's no scientific evidence as for now for anyone who has not shown any symptom to be contagious. So it is only someone who is showing symptoms already who can be able to transmit the disease to another person.
Okay. And is it possible to talk to us about these symptoms of someone who already has Ebola?
Yes, please. Thank you. So, yeah, the symptoms are very classically. We have... there are some that are non-specific, of course. We have, for example, fever. We have a generalized body pain. We have a severe headache. And then we have general body pain, vomiting, like I mentioned, as well as diarrhea. So these are non-specific. You can see they present just like malaria or typhoid. But what is characteristic about Ebola is the unexplained bleeding. Unfortunately, this comes later on in the disease, but then the person will have this unexplained bleeding that you can't explain where it's coming from, and then it is accompanied by the other symptoms that I just mentioned, the high-grade fever, body weakness, vomiting, and diarrhea. So this bleeding can be from anywhere. It can be from the nose. It can be from the mouth. It can be from any body opening, even the eyes.
Okay. Mr. Nyok, in case someone is showing these symptoms that Dr. Onyango just mentioned, where should that person go or what should they do?
Great. I think that is a very valid question, Magdi, and our listeners should actually know. Once someone shows the symptoms of sudden fever, like it was mentioned by Onyango, severe headache, fatigue and weakness, muscle and joint pains and the rest, it's important that the person should be reported to the nearest health facility.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because if the person has all those symptoms, then we call that person a suspect.
Mm.
And it's the facility that should actually deal with the person, because we have the healthcare workers that are trained on that, and they will definitely do it.
Mm.
So that is the most important thing. If you have realized in a person all those signs and symptoms that were mentioned, definitely report to the nearest health facility to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Dr. Onyango, you mentioned that even a dead body can transmit this virus to another person. What can people do, like what just Mr. Nyok said, in case these symptoms are there, they have to rush the person to the hospital? And since the virus is very dangerous, it means everybody who managed this person to go to the hospital is already need to be checked as well. So what kind of preventive measures should people do while they are helping another person to get health care?
Yes, thank you very much. I think that is a very valid question, and I think it's something very important. Earlier on, Nyok talked about the country being in an alert mood, and then we have what we call the Public Health Emergency Operating Center that is now currently working, and we have what we call the Incident Management System that has been put up. So the Incident Management System has different pillars, including surveillance that you talked about, and then risk communication, community engagement. But in relation to this specific question, we have what we call the safe, dignified burial.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a dedicated team of personnel who are trained on how to handle these bodies. So the first thing is that when you suspect that this is a case of Ebola, just like my colleague mentioned, it is better you call a trained healthcare worker to deal with that person, including transporting this person from the home to the health facility. Through that, you are going to minimize the chances of you getting the disease and also protecting your family and the community.
Okay. Thank you so much, Doctor. But Nyok, generally, what should people do to prevent themselves from this disease? He talked about the case, because I asked him about the case that maybe it is suspected or we have it already at home. But generally, what should we do? People are saying we should not greet. I already greeted both of you. We shaked hands.
All right. Thank you. It's important, and that's why we are here. I would actually begin with the preparedness at a national level.
Mm-hmm.
There is what we call national response plan,
mm-hmm.
where we have all the pillars. Begin with the case management,
mm-hmm.
where Dr. Onyango is here. We have the risk communication and community engagement. That's why I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And all other pillars, including even logistics.
Mm-hmm.
You talk of the watch IPC. So what should actually a person do is a question of now prevention. And we all know that prevention is better than a cure. So immediately, that the country is on an alert mode, you have to be very vigilant. You have to do what we call frequent hand washing with soap and water or alcohol-based hand sanitizer. It should actually be with you. And of course, since we have greeted each other, then it should now be stopped from now. Mm-hmm. You say hi to a person that you actually wanted to greet, but you need not to touch
shake hands,
because you never know that person might have come in contact with an infected person for the virus. So one other good thing is avoid contact with the body fluids. The body fluids include even the saliva, the semen, of course, that is during the sexual intercourse.
Mm-hmm.
So those are a few things that a person should be very, very, very observant. And the other one is You should not, of course, handle the dead bodies like it was said by Dr. Onyango. Avoid consuming meat from the dead animals. Then you have to also practice safe sex according to public health guidelines. So those are a few things that people should do. We all do this so that we actually reduce the chances of us being infected with the virus. So you begin with yourselves. That is self-prevention. You now go to your family, the entire community, and the whole country of South Sudan. So it's very important that you have to observe those.
People are also talking about eating bush meat, or people should not eat it. Is it really true, or this is also some misconception or myth that people have?
So when you look at historically, the virus was actually residing in what we called bats, fruit bats. So it came into contact with humans because, of course, there are hunters who went and interacted with the animals in the bush, and that is how the virus was brought among the human population. So it is true that we need to avoid eating a bush meat. Of course, especially bats, monkeys, or antelopes found dead. So if you find an animal that is dead and you do not know the cause, avoid eating this. And if you must eat bush meat, make sure it is properly cooked, so thoroughly cooked at least, and it should be an animal that is healthy. Yeah.
Okay, shukran doktor, shukran bordo le nyogana barja lektani soda de ihtimali tegdar tedi juzu min rasail da arabi for our Arabic listeners. لكل المستمعين بتاعنا ده برنامج بتاع صحة وعافية على راديو ميرايا, ونحن قاعدين نتكلم الليلة عن تفشي بتاع مرض بتاع إيبولا الحاصل في الدول المجاورة, ولكن قاعدين نتكلم عن وذا جنوب السودان جاهز عشان يعني يواجه تفشي ده إذا حصل في جنوب السودان. If you have any question or you have any comment, you can immediately reach out to our health experts inside the studio through our studio lines, which are 0912067879, another number 0912067929, and we have another line which is 0912068101. Hello, Radio Mira.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Mira.
Yes. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon. You speak to Samuel, right?
Yes, Samuel. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling you from Rumbek.
Yes, from Rumbek. Welcome.
So, I'm missing the guy, actually. I guess the woman in the program is because of Ebola. So, I'm missing the guy, prevention because of Ebola. The woman can include Ebola. I'll be Ebola. They are all Bamula and prevention. So now the budget in Uganda or Congo, how man be give al marad? Salam al kuz. My chile guess is an woman. Amul tambia ki boada. Essentially, mun mimili. Yes.
Okay.
That is my
question. Okay. Shukran. Hello, Radio Miraya.
Hello, Madeline Joseph.
Ahlan wa sahlan.
مرحبا معكم احمد داري بن راجا.
يس احمد بن راجا, مرحبا بك.
يلا انا بقدر نسال على عن حمايه بتاع كوليرا, يعني مثل كده كان جاء كده او كان ما ادري عشان يجي كده طبعا مش شنو مدلين جدا ده سؤال بتاع يعني حمايه بتاع بس مدلين جدا
بتاع ايبولا يا
اي حمايه بتاع ايبولا يعني تك ما ادري يجي حتى لو جاء غير طبعا مش شنو
خلاص كويس
نعرف.
Okay, shukran Ahmed. Hello, Radio Miraya.
Yes, hello.
Yes, hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, it was James Mokolmanudum from WOW.
Yes, James, mean WOW, marhabek.
Ana, it's about a much minister of health. Hello, I mean, I said, I'm going to call for the Ebola density. I'm going to get some money.
Okay.
Do bawud bijibu ma yom da kan unizu fi radio galti mosquito nergal bi jibule na babaktumu ase magatumu wa mosquito nergal ase bugo sol pisu yom dagan galu lolligo ta pisu be mosquito nergal bagbodita ase ajad malian pisu u lizma gusumu wa sol pisu ke dan maru wa ya dan marat gijade
okay Okay, James, huma simu wa sualak, ana mudakit, huma haja obulek. Halena shil mukala matani, halo Radio Miraya.
Majilin Joseph.
Ahlenu sahlan.
Hello?
Yes, sana samak.
Marial Minwao.
Marial Minwao, marhabek.
Yes, sana baikura, but now you deal on my video.
Hmm.
Sana bugun in this wale, nukne. Hela, sual wajt. Banwara dalal... Ini kahani sublo, pi marat masuk zul hil sampo zawal lejuba zul ayah nene. Yalla asa masalnya ni naman zul ikun ayah nhal hil sampo zawal oleh na dobda ilaj badak anetija bishub mana. Tuan bunin na malah dah niat je magata rula kiamat. Ikun pi nasa buwasal fogo. Bukan bersih, negiran level or state level.
Okay, syukran lek. Hello Radio Miraya.
Hello.
Ahlan usahlan.
Hai, ada. Lado minjuba.
Mana minjuba?
Lado, lado.
Lado minjuba, marhabek.
Ada nasar soal wajah. Hal. Ibu lada. Kongo ligo, Yemen kan jadi ligo. Ila cakap kan nasar mulu fikir hal. Mudah nak rafal, ada kat rada Indo Ilak, sal binu, nazar di dalam cepi Kongo. Nasal salah barang mina lalu bola
dah.
Dan besoal le, you feel.
Okay, syukran. Hello Radio Miraya.
Naam, Tanur.
Masa al-khair.
Awal ana bahaya beliau berana di studio. مرض إيبولا طبعا هو مرض يعني مخيف جدا وأنا كنت دار أعرف من الدكتور المرض ده هل بيتم علاج بتاعه عن طريق بتاع الحقن ولا في مضادات حيوي يعني بالدول الجول المصاب بالمرض ده نعم
أوكي معنا منو؟
مايكل دار من محافظة شوبيت
مايكل من شوبيت
ايوه
اوكي شكرا لك مايكل خلينا نشيل اخر مكالمه لنا اليوم الليله هلو راديو مرايا
مرايا
يس يا معانا منو
كرم كرم موي
منو
كرم اكل
غران انت ضارب من وين
ضارب
من اويل مرحبا بك
what I would like to ask from doctor that are bordering South Sudan, but we have rivers that are following from countries into South Sudan. What can they do to prevent that type of water not to come into South Sudan with the that barrier?
Okay. Shukra lek ketir garang. Dr. Onyango and Nyok, as if the last question is not clear, but I will explain later. So to continue with our discussion, maybe we start answering from Samuel, who called from Rumbek, and he was asking about prevention, especially at the border with Uganda and Congo. And he said specifically, Numuli, what are you doing there to maybe scan these people when they are entering to prevent the disease from coming to South Sudan?
All right. Thank you very much, Samuel. I think right when the disease was, the outbreak was declared in DRC as well as Uganda, there were 15 counties that were mapped as high-risk locations in South Sudan. So this includes Western Equatoria, counties in Central Equatoria, as well as Magui in Eastern Equatoria, and Budi and Kapweta South. And then a team was dispatched for assessment that was talking about just to see how ready we are in case there's a case within those locations, can we handle them? And also, we are looking at the trade routes and the movement of people. We know we have very intimate relationship between South Sudan and Uganda. There are families on that side, there are families on this side. So those aspects were put into consideration. And then based on the gaps that were immediately identified, so we had to improve surveillance across the border as well as the points of entry, Juba International Airport.
Yeah.
So now if you go at Juba International Airport, you'll find that all travelers are being screened for the symptoms that Ebola can manifest. So the same thing is being done in Yei, at Yei Hospital, and then at Libogo, which is a point of entry into Yei. Mm. And then Numula has also started screening all travelers, including the truck drivers, mm-hmm. who are coming across the border point. So the ministry did not also stop there. We moved further into looking at the treatment facilities. So are we able to manage any case of Ebola if it comes? So we have a center that has been put up at Nimule. We call it the IDU, Intensive Dependency Unit.
Mm-hmm.
We have one in Juba as well. And then we are assessing whether it is possible to put one in Yambio. So all this is to ensure that our population is well protected, right from the borders and even within.
Okay. Thank you so much, Dr. Onyango. Maybe, Nyok, I give you the question of Ahmed from Raja, who was asking about how do they protect themselves from this virus. And if you can really speak in Arabic, I would really appreciate it.
It's okay,
yeah.
Magdi and Hamid from Raja, though I'm not good in Arabic, but I'll
You're try. Going to try.
I'm going to try.
Yes.
Failin al-Hamid min Raja, guna gibil binu al-ahlat wal-ahrarat bita talibola, bibda min al-huma, o subah. Subah de mumkin yukun kalis, o indek taban al-jisim bukun muahatal, الجسم بتاعتك بكون تعبان وال المحلات زي مثلا عقر الكراهه بتاعتك والجسم كله وطبعا لازم تكون عندك حاجه زي مثلا النزله لو داير يجيك يعني
احنا في حقوله في حال
في حقوله في الحاله فحدين كلها لما تشوف الساينس اند سيمتومز ديل من الزول من الزول اللي بسموه سسبكت لانه يو ويل بي سسبيشس ذات ذيس بيرسون مايت بروبابلي بي هافينج ذا فيروس فعشان كده قلنا قبل بانه لو حصل لك الاحرارات كده من الزول تبلغ لمركب مركز الصحه اقرب مركز الصحه اللي هي بصحيح لانه ناس اللي عندنا في المصيفيات دكاتره في المصيفيات عارفين ضد ناس اننا عملنا لهم تريننج وبصايد فده خبر اللي انا ممكن اقوله كده ده انت ممكن تعمي نفسك وتعمي بيتك ونحس بالبيتك والمجتمع بتاعتك
yeah.
حتى للمستوى بتاع الرجاء وجنوب السودان
mm-hmm.
كله
يا yeah. عندنا جيميس من واو هو سأل عن وده مرض ده بينتقل عن طريق بتاع موسكيتو he asked whether the disease or the virus can be transmitted through a mosquito. I don't know, maybe Dr. Onyango, you can answer that question. And then the other question he was asking, of course, it is a different concern now about the mosquito nets being available in the market. But maybe we can answer about the the mode of transmission here through mosquito.
Yes, thank you. That question came from James mm-hmm. McCall from WOW.
Yeah.
So, James, the Ebola virus disease is not transmitted by mosquitoes or any other vector that we know. So it is transmitted through direct contact. So that is a mode of transmission. When somebody has symptoms and they are showing these symptoms and you come in contact with the body fluids, especially the vomitors, diarrhea, blood when they're bleeding, then you are most likely to get this disease. So it is not airborne, it is not transmitted by mosquito or any other vector.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And then we have Marielle from WOW who ask about samples are taken to Juba while patients are left in their states, maybe without any immediate treatment. So I'm quite sure he has a worry of someone might die while the sample is here in Juba. What can you tell him about that?
Yes, so I think for Ebola, and just like any other disease, maybe some of them within the counties, they know we have also been battling cholera mm-hmm. as a country. So we don't wait for confirmation of the sample. Once somebody presents to the health facility, and for Ebola, of course, it will be a suspect, just like Nyok mentioned earlier. And they should be started on treatment immediately. So mm-hmm. the treatment for Ebola is mainly supportive. So it is not like, for example, malaria, where you are given an injection, or menkin hubub, lakin it is supportive treatment. So we have to ensure that if you are dehydrated, you are vomiting, you get fluids. If you are bleeding, your blood pressure has gone down, we ensure that at least you get some blood to ensure that you don't run into anemic heart failure. So it is supportive treatment and it should be immediate. But, of course, we know that laboratory testing capacity in the country, as far as Ebola is concerned, is limited. Mm-hmm. It is at the moment decentralized. And I think the government is working hard to see how best to work through this. Mm-hmm. But at the moment, the only laboratory that has the capacity to test this is the National Public Health Laboratory, which is here in Juba. Mm-hmm. But there could be a possibility of having what we call mobile laboratories in the other states. I think this is what the ministry is working through to see whether there's a possibility of that.
Right. And you already answered Michael, who called from Chobet, and he was asking about the type of treatments that are given to people who have Ebola. Now, Ladu from Juba asked whether there is now treatment for Ebola. He said he have seen on social media that people celebrated in Congo for discovering or having now treatment for Ebola. What can you say about that? And then there is another question from Gereng, which is very interesting. He said we have some rivers in South Sudan that comes from Uganda or Congo. Does it carry the disease here to South Sudan or not? And what are we doing to protect ourselves from that?
Yes. So for the treatment, I will emphasize again. So early health-seeking behavior is important, and that is why my colleague Nyok was emphasizing that when you see these signs and symptoms, ensure that you call the nearest health facility so that they will be able to conduct further investigation, and then they can confirm whether this is Ebola or not through the screening questions that they have. So in terms of treatment, it is intensive supportive care, like I mentioned, so that it gives time for the body to develop natural immunity that can now fight the disease. And so the aim is to restore natural immunity, and we have to ensure that the person is well hydrated, they receive enough fluids, they have enough electrolytes in the body, and the vital signs are okay, for example, the blood pressure that I just mentioned earlier, and that if they have fever, that fever is controlled, and if they have pain, the pain is also controlled, and if they are bleeding, the bleeding is controlled. But then we have other people who might develop very severe symptoms who might need critical care. And these are people who can be admitted to the intensive care unit or the ICU, where they might need oxygen support. Mm. They might need dialysis because the kidney has gone into failure. And then, of course, the treatment of secondary co-infections.
Mm.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much, Onyango, for that. Now let me bring in Nyok. Whenever a new disease maybe or any virus comes in a community, you find now there are some rumors, there are some misconception and also myth, and people share among themselves. And this is where your work comes in. What are you doing now together with the communities plus other actors maybe to work hand in hand, clear this misconception, myth, and maybe also prepare these communities with right information?
It's okay. Thank you, Madde. Definitely, of course, before answering the question, I would like to tell Radio Miraya listeners that you have to understand what a rumor is.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk of a rumor is any information that is not verified. It can either be wrong or right, and we don't disregard it. Take it. But it's now the National Ministry of Health, together with the partners, as you put it well, the UNICEF and other health-related partners that are working in collaboration with the National Ministry of Health, at least to verify that information. So, of course, there will be misinformation if there is an outbreak like the current situation that we are in now. Mm-hmm. There is a lot that is going on in the community. So what we normally do is, if you hear any rumor, like anything say that if Ebola comes, it will do this and that. Now, it's now you report to us, it's the National Minister of Health. One way of reporting is we have our hotline, we call it, it's 6666, that is 6-4 times, you give us a call. The call center, of course, is reactivated and it is now active, but the line will surely be on. Mm-hmm. So tell us the rumor that you have heard. Now, the other way of dealing with the rumor is, or any misinformation or any misconception is, we have the healthcare workers in the health facility.
Mm-hmm.
These are the people who are trusted. We know some of them are trusted, if not all of them. Of course, it depends on how you relate with your clients and the patients, but we believe it's government. These are people that are deployed by the government and they are trusted. Mm-hmm. So report any misinformation or any rumor to them and they know how to deal with it. But you need not be panicked. The right source for you to verify any information is the Ministry of Health, mm-hmm. whether at the state level or within the national area.
Right. And do you have any community workers that are outside there? They are already trained, they are equipped with right information to go and maybe speak to the community?
Indeed, we do. We have what we call BHWs. The mm-hmm. BHWs stand for Boma Health Workers.
Mm-hmm.
That is how we call them. Now, these people are the ones dealing with the health education.
Mm-hmm.
They deal with the community. They engage the community. So we have what we call rumor tracking system. The government has actually devised some resources. There are some of the forms that are filled by the BHW concerning the rumor, and they will be reported to the state level. If that was at a county level, then it comes to the state, then to the national.
Mm-hmm.
That is the system of health education and promotion.
Okay. Okay, thank you so much, Mr. Nyok. Now, let me bring in Dr. Onyango once again. I asked this question maybe at the beginning of the program or the show, but I would like you to give us more details about how is WHO supporting our national government through the National Ministry of Health to get ready and get prepared in case of any virus outbreak here in South Sudan. What did you do so far? Have you trained health workers? Have you opened different centers? Have you brought in some medical emergencies, something like that?
Thank you very much once again, Marjolaine.
Mm.
And so I think WHO is working closely with the Ministry of Health, as well as with the National Public Health Institute,
mm-hmm.
where now the Emergency Operating Center is being run for the Ebola and other emergencies. So the first thing is that coordination is being supported. So we have now three meetings in a week at the National Public Health Institute, bringing all partners together.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just to ensure that whatever each partner has is brought on the table. And as WHO, we are the co-lead of the incident management system,
mm-hmm.
and we are leading the coordination aspect in that regards. And apart from that, of course, now with the different pillars, we provide technical support. So WHO has to ensure that at least in each pillar, we have somebody who is a co-lead or supporting the government counterpart to that regards. For example, we talked of surveillance, so we dispatch teams across the different 15 locations that are mapped as high-risk locations to ensure that assessments are being conducted. We look at our capacities in terms of the health facilities. We look at the porous borders. We look at where to set up the screening points. Like I mentioned, the Juba International Airport, what is missing, what should be needed. And then the case management capacity, especially within Juba. So we have the IDU, which is on Yei Road, that is now functional. And in case we get a case today, or a suspected case, at least we know that as a country, we should be able to deal with that case.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're also enhancing the laboratory and testing capacity. So we took stock, inventory of what we have within the country. And whatever is not there, of course, we are working closely with the Ministry of Health that it is availed. And specific to WHO, we have also reached out to our colleagues outside the country, especially the Afro office, for such support.
Mm-hmm.
So people who can give us technical guidance, who have experience in dealing with such emergencies, to come and help the country. So that is in addition to providing them medical supplies, as well as one critical thing that we have not talked about in prevention is the IPC. There's something we call infection prevention control, and then wash. So do you have enough gloves within the country?
Yes.
Do you have enough personal protective equipment within the country? So we have taken stock, and then we have dispatched supplies to the high-risk locations across the country. Mm-hmm. Yes, and then, of course, the training you have mentioned. So across the different locations where the joint teams of the Ministry of Health, NPHI, and WHO has gone, we are able to orient and ensure that at least contingency planning is put in place specific to the county. And then at the national level, we are planning now to conduct additional training for healthcare workers who can be able to deal with this.
Okay. Thank you so much, Dr. Onyango. And we are almost wrapping up our today's show. Maybe I will give you 1 minute to give your last message to our listeners.
Yes. Thank you, Radio Mirai listeners across the country. And thank you very much, Marjolaine, for inviting us here. I just want to emphasize again that we don't have any confirmed case of Ebola in South Sudan, but we need to remain vigilant, and we need to ensure that at least we prevent ourselves, our families, and our communities from, you know, getting this infection. At the level of the government and WHO, I know the borders are now well covered in terms of screening travelers coming into the country. And we are doing all this so that, you know, we strengthen our surveillance system, we enhance our testing capacities, and even the case management capacity. But more importantly is the risk communication and community engagement. And I think my counterpart, Nyok, has really emphasized on this. This is something very important. Thank you very much.
Yes, Nyok, you can also give your last message to our listeners.
It's okay. Thank you, Magdi, and thank you, Radio Mirai listeners. Now, what I have to say finally here is we have to be vigilant in regards to the outbreak that is going on in the DRC and Uganda, and how do we do it? Now, for us in the department, we have actually done a lot. Since, I mean, before coming here to Radio Mirai, I think there was a team that went to iRadio.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, what we have done in the country is we have mapped the radio stations across the country, including the states and the counties, wherever possible.
Mm-hmm.
And the messages are actually ongoing, being given out. We have even produced the radio jingles. The jingles are produced and they are translated into different languages across the country, especially those ones that are at the border. You have the Pozande, for those ones who are in the majority of people, of the the Azande people, and you have Mahdi, you have Kakwa. So the jingles that are key, that are carrying the key messages in relation to Ebola, are produced and translated into different languages, including Arabic.
Mm.
Now, one other good thing is there are what we call community influencers, the likes of the religious leaders, the chiefs, the youth leaders, the women's leaders. These people are being engaged right now, especially at the border where the outbreak is a concern, and they are carrying out the messages on behalf of the National Ministry of Health. So finally, the government is doing well. The government cares for the people. It loves its people, and we are doing well. We are trying our best so that the outbreak is contained in relation to Ebola.
Yes, thank you so much, Mr. Nyok, for both our guests, Dr. Onyango Okech from the World Health Organization. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon on Health and Wellness. And also from Nyok, Daniel from the National Ministry of Health, thank you so much for joining us and also helping us better understand Ebola and how prepared the country is. To our listeners, remember all the health messages that were given today during the show. Make sure that you wash your hands very well. Do not greet. In case of any suspected symptoms, please rush to the nearest health facility so that you get the support needed. And also there is a hotline that you mentioned earlier that people should call on, which is
6-4 times. Yeah, 6-4 times. That is 6666.
Okay. Thank you so much, our listeners, for listening to Health and Wellness Radio program. The repeat of this episode will be played on Sunday from 5 to 6. Please listen to. I've been your host, Magdalene Joseph. Till here, we say bye-bye.
Thank you, sir.
كن بصحة جيدة وكن سعيدا. أنت تستمع إلى برنامج صحة وعافية على راديو مرايا.
برنامج صحة وعافية على راديو مرايا، برنامج لصحتك الجسدية والعقلية.
تابعونا للحصول على مشورة الخبراء بشأن الوقاية والعلاج وكيفية اتخاذ قرارات مدروسة عن صحتك.
كل يوم خميس الساعة 1 ظهرا ويعاد يوم الأحد في الساعة 5 مساء. برنامج صحة وعافية على راديو مرايا.
راديو مرايا،
راديو مرايا،
راديو مرايا،
راديو مرايا، أصوات متحدة من أجل السلام.